Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the last three verses of Luke chapter 22, the gospel lesson for this day, verses 21 to 22. And behold, the hand of him who betrayed me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he was betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it was that would do this thing. Dear fellow students of the Word of God, we quickly come down from the mountaintop. I am referring to our participation in the Eucharist yesterday morning and the state of our thoughts, conversation, and conduct since that time. How quickly man changes spiritually or in the spiritual realm. We're all acquainted with the honeymoon concept or the honeymoon syndrome. The idea is that when people enter into a special and unique relationship with one another, there is an understood and anticipated period of harmony. When the ordinary disaffections of life that take place between several people or two people is usually held in abeyance for a certain period of time. This obviously takes place during the first days, weeks, and months between newlyweds and their newly married life. Usually the new president of our nation is given 100 or so days of grace before people enter into any real and direct criticism of his actions, his conduct, and his policies. Very often when a new faculty member joins the faculty, he is also given a certain period of understanding. Our students kind of seal them out before they either maybe extensively praise or criticize them. The same holds too often for students, new students, especially from diverse backgrounds. Usually, if there is some question of abilities, they are given a certain period of grace, and they say that, maybe they will work things out, things will come together for them. This honeymoon concept takes place in so many areas of life. And in this regard, we often show greater consideration and courtesy to our fellow men, to one another, than we do to God. This fact looms at us from our text. Christ was in the midst of his greatest human sorrow. He had just entered into a very special, a sacramental relationship with his chosen disciples. He had just shared himself in a very real sense with them, and he had offered and communicated to them the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of eternal life. And immediately after giving them his body and saying the words, "This is my body," Christ said, "Behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table." What a devastating blow this must have been to Christ. One of the inner circle who had been individually and specially chosen by the Savior, immediately after receiving the Eucharist, committed one of the most detestable of crimes. He betrayed his Savior. Betrayal and treason is traditionally and historically understood as one of the worst of crimes. As Americans and as Christians, there are two appellations or names that we won't countenance to ourselves being called. Those names are Judas and Benedict Arnold. And this has been historically true. You may recall the account of the 300 valiant Spartans who died at Thermopylae under the leadership of Leonidas. And part of the tragedy of that massacre was that they were most likely betrayed. It is terrible to betray someone to commit an act of treason. Our God is not immune to Judas-like conduct. Think of Israel in the Old Testament when God was dictating the law to Moses, ready to share his law with his people. And while he was doing that, their impatience caused them to fall away and construct and fashion a golden calf. Very often when the Israelites in the conquest of Canaan, when they were on the very verge of victory, disobeyed the commands of their Lord, they fell away from him. Even Peter, who was sitting at the table, shortly thereafter betrayed Christ. He denies him. And all of the other disciples, they run away from him. And their Savior needed them most. I pray the same is often of you and of me. Yesterday, we celebrated the Eucharist. Yesterday, we received the body and the blood of Christ. We entered into a sacramental union with our Lord and Savior. We heard the words, "This is my body and this is my blood." We receive the forgiveness of sins, the greatest of gifts that we receive in this life. We were comforted with the assurance of life everlasting with our Lord and Savior. And it may well have been that while we were on our way back to our seats, we might have already begun to find fault with someone. While we were waiting for the conclusion of the chapel service, we may have been plotting unethical means of finding shortcuts to fulfilling first requirements for this summer session. We may have allowed the arrogance of our own intellectuality. We have begun to judge someone else as inferior. Perhaps during the rest of the day, we may have hidden or downplayed our commitment to Christ in a social setting. Yet in so many ways, you and I so often turn out to be Judases. And the real danger is that we don't see it. For the last verse of our text says that, "And the disciples began to question one another, which of them it was that would do this." Perhaps Judas himself began looking around the table, mimicking the others. And while the disciples may not have betrayed him in the sense that Judas did, they were all seen to intend to deny him, to flee and to run from him, to forsake him. And this is the danger that we do not see our sins. We all know the story of King Oedipus in Greek tragedy. When he was told that there was a great problem in the land, someone was committing an enormous moral offense. And the problems of the land, the plagues of the land, would not disappear until that person was found and punished. And it was King Oedipus who instigated and brought about the investigation, completely unaware that he was the man. For Oedipus, for Judas to die was past. The offense was too far along, and the punishment immediately ensued. What about us? We have denied our Lord, we have abandoned him, and perhaps we have betrayed him in the full sense of the term. But God comes to us. He comes to us again today in his word and asks us to confess our sins. And again, he offers us the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of eternal life. He reinstated Peter, the other disciples, they became great spokesmen for their God. They were reinstated in the fold of God's chosen people. You and I deny our Lord, we betray him, and may God grant that we shall return in the act of forgiveness and penance, and rely for our salvation entirely upon the faith that God has given us in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.